1-800-926-5659.
Good morning, Izzy Lyman here. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I'd like to make a quick announcement before we speak to our first guest. We have an event for Dr. Sherry O'Donnell that's being hosted by George Ranville this Wednesday in Mac City at the Beer the Mac Brew Works. It will be from noon to 1:30, 313-24 for a private meet and greet lunch type situation. And again, we hope you can come. It's 14277 Mac Highway, Mac City. And Dr. Sherry is a great lady, definitely very worthy of deserving of our support. And as are the Ranvilles. They're really good people, hardworking small business owners. So this Wednesday, and you can, I'll try to mention that again, or you can text me if you want some more information about it after the show. By all means, see if you can attend. And anyways, on the line, we have Mr. Dan Lyman, the editor-in-chief of BorderHawk.News. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you so much, because I know you just got back from Mexico, so you're still recuperating. So anyway, I have so much I want to talk to you about, but let's start with your weekend. How did that go? What did you see? What did you learn?
Yes, I did just return from Mexico and the southern border. We were just down there for a few days, getting a ton of exclusive content for BorderHawk, BorderHawk.News. And we took the whole team down there, actually, and we met up with our correspondent in Mexico, along with a couple of other great reporters down there, and had quite an experience. As many of your viewers might be familiar, there's more attention being given to what's going on at the border, including, of course, great reporting by Fox News frequently at this point. However, for the most part, American journalists don't go across the border into Mexico. But we did, and we will be having a ton of exclusive content coming out in the coming days now that we have a chance to edit everything now that we're back. And just a different perspective, a different look that most Americans don't get to see, because the media doesn't ever cross over the border to report from that side. So, yes, it was quite an experience, eye-opening to say the least.
So you went from Eagle Pass, which is ground zero these days for much of the reporting, actually, and the visiting from the politicians, and you crossed into Piedras Negras. That's where you were. And what was that like? Did you have any issues as you were crossing and with any of the law enforcement?
No, not really. We did have issues with law enforcement, but it wasn't related to the crossing itself. The crossing is quite low-key, almost disturbingly low-key, given the situation. But no, we didn't have any issues with that. We had some run-ins for sure. At one point we were on the American side of the Rio, and we were kind of poking around an area along the riverbank outside of the city limits, and where it was a bit quieter. To put it in perspective, some of your listeners will be familiar with Shelby Park, which is right in the heart of Eagle Pass. And that's where the Texas military, Texas DPS, Border Patrol have all made a huge showing of cracking down. Because, of course, there have been tens of thousands of illegal crossings in that area in the past year or so. So there's a huge show of force in that region, especially near the international bridges. But if you just go up the river or down the river a couple of miles, things get a lot quieter. And the enforcement is much lower, and the presence of our authorities in those areas is lower as well. So we went and checked out those areas, and at one point we ended up right along the river on a dirt access road. And we were reporting from that area when we were basically approached by multiple military vehicles and escorted out of the area after a little bit of a confrontation. So we did have run-ins with law enforcement, but not crossing back and forth.
That sounds a little scary, but since it all turned out well, we'll say good. So what was your impression overall? I know we want to talk a little bit about your visit to the shelter, but like your initial impression as you cross into Mexico.
Well, I want to be careful about the way that I say this, because I do want to make it clear that we appreciate the efforts of American authorities, especially those in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
That
yes.
work for the military and the police there. We do appreciate that, because it really is a difficult job. And just being there for a few days, it really, really weighs on your spirit while you're down there. It's a dark place, a dirty place, chaotic. And so spending a lot of time there, being deployed there, especially when you're from another state, for instance, there's a lot of there's a huge Florida presence there, Florida law enforcement down there, and you know, military and border agents from around the country. So I do want to say that I appreciate their efforts, but we did get the sense that there is a heavy dose of security theater down there. It really does not feel as secure as it may appear on the surface. Things don't seem to be as tightly buttoned up there as you might think when you see all this personnel and these vehicles and all these resources down there. We still felt like it was very lacking in many ways. And so our entry into Mexico was actually quite smooth. We did it the right way, of course, and we went with our passports and all that. Nobody checked our passports going into Mexico, but they were verified on the way back in by CBP on the American side. But once we get into Mexico, things are a little bit different. But one of the interesting things is that there is a very heavy Mexican military presence along the banks of the river and along the border there, that they're actually doing the lion's share of the work in preventing a lot of the illegal crossings in that area that have previously, it's just been madness there. In some days, 4,000 to 10,000 on some estimates have crossed in that area. Now it's down to a trickle, just a few hundred per day, although that is starting to come back up again. And a lot of those flows have shifted into other states, border states that are actually controlled by the cartels. So in this state, Coahuila, it's actually controlled by the Mexican government and local authorities. They're actually doing a pretty good job there. And they're doing, you know, most of the work, I would say, in preventing these illegal crossings from even happening. But, you know, what will happen in the months to come before the election, of course, remains to be seen.
That is at least a piece of good news.
So, yes, indeed. And they were really nice to us, too. We had some great guides there, a local resident who actually reports for Border Hawk named Efrain Gonzalez. And he had a good rapport with the military. And once, you know, after quick smoothing out of, you know, of who we were, anytime we approached the military or an area that they were guarding, they were very polite and let us report without any hassling, which was fantastic.
And to that, let me speak to that about the importance of Americans having, who don't speak Spanish fluently or are not familiar with the culture there, of having some cultural Sherpas, as I like to call them, in which you did. Because my representative, Neil Frisky, he went to Texas and he was advised not to go into Mexico. So, and he didn't. So, because he didn't have that connection that you and your team had. So that, you know, kudos to those gentlemen for being part of that.
No, absolutely. And without them, I think it would have gone completely differently. So they were really instrumental into guiding us around and making sure that we didn't have any negative run-ins with local authorities there. So, yeah, anyone who does go into Mexico, I would advise them to find a proper guide for sure.
For sure. So tell us a little bit about this shelter. It's an NGO. It's a shelter for migrants. It had, I think, La Casa de los Migrantes. Is that right?
La Casa del Migrante, yep.
Del Migrante, okay.
So this shelter is operated, it's run by a nun apparently, and I'm told that it's the only shelter in Piedras, which is a unique situation because the flows through Piedras have been just monumental. Like I said, I think there was 1 month at the end of 2023 where it was over 60,000 came into Eagle Pass in a month. Mm. So average of about 2,000 people per day, and the vast majority of them at least pass through the shelter in order to get their bearings or get a bite to eat or whatever it is that they need, and also to get some direction, as we uncovered in the past at Border Hawk. They're actually given GPS coordinates when they've gathered at this shelter, telling them where exactly to cross at the Rio en masse. So When things were the busiest, there were up to 2 crossings per day, and sometimes up to 1,000 people per crossing. And these are quote unquote unofficial illegal mass crossings. And they were basically able to gather the information that they needed at the shelter. At the shelter, a few different NGOs and religious organizations operate: the American Red Cross, Doctors Without Borders, Catholic Charities, and a couple of others. And so when we went on this day there, I would say there were somewhere between 100 and 200 migrants there. They were staying there. I guess they're staying there for a couple of days at a time. And while they're there, they actually, most of them apply for at meetings via the CBP One app, which is the Customs and Border Protection's new app that they launched. Mm-hmm. I believe it was last year, that enables people to set up their asylum appointments ahead of time. So it's basically kind of a whitewashing tool for illegal migration.
Mm. And so, well said.
Yes, and so when we were told, we were actually the first American journalists to enter the shelter, and also to get some pretty amazing footage walking in and, you know, seeing what it's like inside there. And it's like a blend between a really shanty motel and a prison yard, essentially. And it's a pretty startling place. Hard to believe that thousands of people were there at a time, because it was felt pretty crowded with only about 100 to 200, and very, very dirty. Basically, a place for them to charge their phones and perhaps catch some semblance of a shower or something like that. But really startling scenes in there. But we were with our guides and we were welcomed in, which we found interesting. It was hard to tell who actually ran the place or who was in charge, because it did seem like we were actually let in the gate by male migrants who were kind of just loitering at the gate, watching over things, and they welcomed us in, and we went in with cameras rolling and got some footage. And then we did a couple of interviews, and we were actually in the middle of an interview in the center of the courtyard, and our security team was keeping an eye on things. And we are told that we were being triangulated by a group of male migrants who were on their phones and starting to close in on us from a variety of different directions. And it looked like they were plotting something. And we were also told that one of them flashed a rather large knife at one of our security guards. And at that point, we cut the interview short and left on short notice.
Extremely wise. And of course, very relieved nothing happened. But that sounds scary. And I've seen a little bit of the videos of the shelter, and they're on Twitter and on your – are they on the website yet or not quite?
We're loading everything in today on the website that we've posted so far. All we've had time to do really is post some teaser clips, but we have – an assortment of exclusive content coming in the coming days.
Okay. We'll be back after the break. I'm speaking with Dan Lyman, editor-in-chief of BorderHawk.news, and his visit to Mexico. Stay with us to hear more. I'm Izzy Lyman.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Free spring inspection for your vehicle. Bring your vehicle to Royal Tire at 402 West Mitchell and Petoskey. Get a free inspection of your wiper blades, tires and wheels, a battery test, brake pads and rotors. Call to schedule an appointment at 231-347-1001. Make sure your vehicle is ready for summer. It's coming. Again, call Royal Tire at 231-347-1001.
Montana Black Angus beef raised in Onaway, Michigan. Tolini Farms have been raising their cows by feeding them non-GMO corn, barley, wheat, and alfalfa hay, all grown on their own farm. Taking the Ebles for processing, aged, standard cut, vacuum sealed, and frozen, ready for immediate delivery directly to you. Call them today at 989-733-2782 for their current $4 per hanging weight pound. Quarters or halves will feed your family for a year. Call them right now at 989-733-2782.
Hi, am Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, running for U.S. Senate. As a missionary physician who's traveled the world, I've seen refugee crisis. Our open borders are causing a national refugee crisis. The failed Biden administration is paying illegal immigrants to enter our country and bring disease, terrorism, trafficking, inflation, and crime. As your next U.S. Senator, I have the international experience to close our borders and secure our homeland. I'm Dr. Sherry O'Donnell and am prepared to close the floodgates. Paid for by Dr. Sherry for Senate.
Chuck or Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicki and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. Patriotsrelief.com.
All right. The music faded away and I didn't hear it fade away. It's a little glitch there. But anyway, I'm Izzy Lyman. Welcome back to the Your Defending Father show. And I'm speaking with Dan Lyman, who just returned from a trip to Mexico with the BorderHawk.news team. And you were just telling us a story about you had to flee that shelter and get back into civilization really quick, I think it sounds like, right?
Yeah. And, you know, that wasn't the only shelter we had to leave on short notice. We had to actually depart one on short notice out of in America as well for completely different reasons.
Oh, okay.
We discovered a shelter called Mission Border Hope, and we've just started scratching the surface on whatever's going on at this shelter. That's located in Eagle Pass. And so we figured out, you know, kind of where it was located, and we were trying to figure out how to, if we could just kind of drive up or get a little footage outside or kind of get a lay of the land. And we realized that getting to it was next to impossible. And so the reason for that is there's one entrance and it is a gated entrance. And then the only other way to get to it, we had to discover by going on a bridge above it and looking down to figure out where there was an access point. We had to go on a dirt road, on a different area and follow that in. We eventually made it to the outskirts of this shelter. And as we were coming in, approaching security, a guard in a security car began tailing us into another property as we were going in there to approach this shelter from the side. And we got up to the fence at the shelter and got some footage what was going on inside. Weren't too many people there, but appeared maybe a couple dozen illegal aliens were kind of hanging out, milling around in the parking lot out front. And then the parking lot actually was pretty well stocked with places for them to spend time, a little playground, things like that. And pretty high fencing with barbed wire and all that all around it in order to keep out prying eyes. Mm-hmm. And so we were rolling cameras from the fence. And as soon as workers at this shelter saw us, they immediately rushed everyone inside and started yelling at us from the front door. And then they sicked a huge security guard in a mask, came running at us with arms waving and all that. And so we said, you know what, probably a good time to leave since we have multiple security guards on us. We got in the car. We did a little bit of research. We passed by the security guard that had phoned us into someone else. And we were talking to one of our colleagues in the area. And he actually said that anytime anyone approaches this shelter, media or otherwise, that isn't invited, the security guards just call the police. And so apparently we made it out of there with a minute or two to spare before the authorities arrived. And of course, I mean, who knows what they would have been able to do, but they probably would have given us a hard time. But it really illustrates that kind of cooperation between the NGOs and these charity organizations,
yes,
and local authorities.
Yes.
So kind of disturbing that as American citizens, we're not even allowed to come in the vicinity of these shelters where they're sheltering illegals without the police being called on us.
Yes, and that story has been repeated over and over of folks trying to get access to trying to get information to see how their tax dollars are being spent, because oversight, right? That's what we're supposed to do too, I guess, now since we don't have it from the government. So in the time that we have left, Dan, can you encourage the folks here in Michigan as to why they should care profoundly and passionately about the situation at the border immigration as much as you do?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that we cover a lot at Border Hawk, and I do in my work at InfoWars, is I cover crime, because crime, I think, is really just got to be one of the forefront issues facing the nation right now. We're turning into a de facto lawless society, but not lawless for decent law-abiding Americans, as we even saw when we were trying to just document this shelter where we had the police being called on us. It's kind of this anarcho-tyrannical style of lawlessness where people, the criminals and people who aren't supposed to be in this country, the law is not fairly applied to them the way that it is to us, those of us who are just interested in safer towns, secure borders, for an, you know, just general sense of security for our families in the country here. So we're seeing kind of a two-tiered legal system being applied at this point. And so in covering this crime, there's this, of course, this really stark intersection between the situation at the border and crime itself and the explosion of crime in the country that's going on right now. And so on a daily basis, I'm covering stories about either illegal aliens who have committed crimes in the U.S., many of them resulting in deaths of American citizens or horrific sexual attacks on American citizens, or also finding out that that these illegals with horrific criminal records are being picked up inside the U.S. after having been released, sometimes even 5 to 10 times by authorities in the U.S., knowing that these people have warrants for their arrests in their home countries or have been already previously arrested for crimes here in the U.S. And so we're seeing that it's starting to just wash across the entire country. There's no way to escape this. It doesn't matter how close you live to the northern border. And of course, in some ways, living close to the northern border is a new problem in and of itself, because we see now, you know, a huge surge of illegal crossings at the northern border. So I think everybody needs to realize that every town is now a border town. And will your town be the next town to be affected by illegal immigration? There's a very decent chance that it could be.
Yes. Thank you for reminding us how important it is. Tell us how to follow you either on Twitter or BorderHawk.
For sure. BorderHawk.news is the website. On Twitter, at BorderHawk News. We'll be uploading tons of exclusive content in the coming days from our trip that we just wrapped up. And we'll also have a reporter that's going to be traveling the entire southern border all the way out to California. I believe meeting up with you at some point and
yes,
doing some exclusive reporting in Arizona. So we have so much exclusive content coming in the coming weeks. And you can find all that on our websites and at Twitter.
Thank you so much. I am delighted you joined us. Thank you, and I'm glad you're safely back on U.S. soil. Thank you,
Thank
Dan Lyman.
Thank you for listening to Your Defending Fathers with trucker Randy Bishop.
Find everything you need to ride at Northern Leathers and Accessories, where comfort and style meet no matter the season. Find parts, equipment, and other products for motorcycles, snowmobiles, and ATVs, including products from Drag Specialties, Parts Unlimited, Moose Utilities, Lucas, and Champion Power. Plus apparel for men, women, and children, including big and tall sizes. Quality items at prices you can afford. Stop in today to browse our selection located on US 131 in Elba. We are more than just leathers.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com.
follow my journey with Missy and see that I drop 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating